the book of Leviticus. We're in a series going through one of Brother David Cloud's books. It is called A Portrait of Christ, the Tabernacle, the Priesthood, and the Offerings. It's a title, something like that. It's A Portrait of Christ. It begins with that. So if you look up that book and find that it's written by David Cloud, that's the book we're going through. Anyway, and we are in Leviticus chapter 8 this evening. We are right in the middle of talking about the sin offering and the burnt offering. And it's been several weeks since we talked about the sin offering. So let me give you a little bit of a refresher course on the sin offering, if I could. On both things. If you remember, the sin offering and the burnt offering represent basically the same thing. And somebody, can somebody tell me what that same thing is? What does the sin offering represent? His crucifixion, his death on the cross. The burnt offering also represents Christ's atonement, his death on the cross. But the sin offering and the burnt offering are from two different viewpoints. They're like two different sides of the same coin. One side is from man's viewpoint. It's what Jesus Christ did for man. The other offering, that's the sin offering. The sin offering is man's viewpoint. And the burnt offering is from God's viewpoint. What Jesus Christ did toward God to redeem mankind. Okay? And we also talked about the bullock was the offering for the sin offering. Whereas we're going to see that the ram was the offering for the burnt offering this evening, but the bullock was an important picture of Jesus Christ as the servant of God. A bull or bullock is always in Scripture. It's a reference. It's a picture of a servant or a servant type animal. Thomas Newberry, in his Types of the Levitical Offering, said this: "The bullock is typical of the Lord Jesus Christ in his life of perfect service, as well as in his atoning death. The bullock plowed the land, brought home the sheaves from the harvest field, trod out the corn for the household," end quote. And then, of course, at the end of a bullock's life, they always would slay it and eat it. The whole life of a bull or bullock was in service to its owners. And Jesus Christ, the entire life of Jesus Christ, was in service to God the Father. And so if you would, let's go to Leviticus chapter 8 now. Just remember that the sin offering and the burnt offering are the same, the picture of the same thing, Christ's atonement. The sin offering was from man's viewpoint, and tonight the burnt offering is from God's viewpoint. Leviticus chapter 8, please, look at verse 18. Leviticus 8, 18. "And he brought the ram." Remember, the bullock was the sin offering, and now we're looking at a ram. "And he brought the ram for the burnt offering. And Aaron and his sons laid their hands upon the head of the ram, and he killed it. And Moses sprinkled the blood upon the altar round about." There's also a little bit difference here. Last time, the sin offering, the blood was put on the horns of the altar. Now the blood, and then the remnant was poured out beside the altar for the sin offering. And now the ram's blood is sprinkled round about upon the altar. Verse 20, "And he cut the ram into pieces, and Moses burnt the head and the pieces and the fat. And he washed the inwards and the legs in water. And Moses burnt the whole ram upon the altar. It was a burnt sacrifice for a sweet savor and an offering made by fire unto the Lord, as the Lord commanded Moses." And so this is the offering of the burnt offering. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you so much for these pictures in the Old Testament about yourself and also about the Christian and the Christian's walk with you. And so, Father, as we look at this tonight, please help me as I share. Give me the words to say. And, Father, I pray that you bless us as we listen and study, Lord, that you would help us to understand your word a little bit better this evening. And I pray that things would be new for each one of us. And, Father, I pray your blessing upon it. Now, in Jesus' name I ask, amen. So the burnt offering depicts Christ's complete devotion to God and God's acceptance of him. God's accepting Jesus Christ as the offering for the sin of the world. And notice that the burnt offering is burnt wholly on the altar. Now, the sin offering was not burnt wholly on the altar. Part of it was taken outside the camp and burnt outside the camp. The skin and the dung was burnt outside the camp. But this one, everything was burnt on the altar. And that signifies Christ offering himself wholly without spot to God. Hebrews 9:14 tells us Jesus Christ offered himself, it doesn't say he offered himself for the sins of the world, he offered himself to God. He offered himself to God. And so this is what the burnt offering represents, the fact that Jesus, not only did he die for the sin of man, but when he did that, he offered himself to God as the sacrifice for mankind. And then also, there's a twofold aspect here. It also signifies that Christ belongs to God the Father. Christ is God. 1 Corinthians 3:23, please. Go to 1 Corinthians 3:23. Not only did he offer himself without spot to God, but he was God's in the first place. God the Father's. 1 Corinthians 3:23. And ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Jesus Christ belonged to God. He was God's Son, the only begotten of the Father. He belonged wholly to God the Father. He and his Father are one. But that's the overview of this offering. So first of all, the offering was a ram. The offering was a ram, which was a male sheep, and that was an expensive sacrifice. Not as expensive as the bullock, but it was the second most expensive sacrifice that God required, a full-grown male ram. And the first mention of a ram in the Bible was, does anybody remember the first mention of a ram in the Bible? Abraham, and the story of Abraham getting the covenant from God. Go to Genesis 15, please. Genesis 15. Not Abraham and Isaac. That's the second mention. We'll talk about that in a second. But the first mention is when God verifies his covenant with Abraham. Genesis 15, 9 and 10. And he said unto him, God said unto Abraham, take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another, but the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. And lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. Skip down to verse 17, please. And it came to pass that when the sun went down, and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace, and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. So it was God that went through the midst of the pieces, and there was a ram there as part of that covenant. God walked through that sacrifice or those sacrifices alone. Abraham didn't walk with God through those sacrifices. The fact that God walked through them alone signified that it was an unconditional covenant based on God alone, not based on anything about Abraham. It didn't have to be faithful. Abraham didn't have to do this or that or the other thing. It was unconditional. God said, I'm going to do this for my name's sake, Abram, and I promise it's going to happen. And so God walked through those pieces alone. It was unconditional. So likewise, Christ is the sacrifice that is unconditional to God. Christ makes God's promise of salvation sure to every believer. It's available to all mankind. It's not conditional, except for that you have to be the son of Adam or the daughter of Adam. That's the only condition. You have to be a human. But it's unconditional. It's offered to every person that ever lived. Christ died alone to purchase that salvation. The sinner does nothing to earn the gift. Christ did it alone on the cross. It's our part simply to receive it and enjoy the salvation that Christ offers us. And then the second mention of a ram in the Bible is the one that God provided to Abraham on Mount Moriah to replace Isaac, right? And what happened to that ram? How did Abraham find that ram? Some young person tell me. Where was that ram? The one on Mount Moriah. It was caught in a thicket by its horns, right? And it by a thorn bush, I believe is the story. And that's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, the thorn-crowned brow of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the thorn-crowned Savior who died in the sinner's place. So that thorn bush even pictured forward to the cross, and that Christ would be wearing a thorn crown. But that's the second mention of a ram. So these first instances, first mentions of a ram are very important, referring forward to Christ. So the offering was a ram. Of course, the full picture is he's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, right? But the second thing, the priests laid their hands on the burnt offering. The priests laid their hands on the burnt offering. Remember, they had done this with the sin offering. And as we saw, that means that the offering became their substitute. I want to go back to the last study and just re-go through this because it's been a little while. But laying your hands on the sacrifice signified the twofold action of transferring the offerer's sin to the sacrifice and the offerer receiving the atoning value of the offering. Okay? So not only did we put our sin upon Jesus Christ when we accepted Christ as our Savior, but we received back from Jesus Christ His righteousness. That is the twofold action that happened when we were justified. We got rid of our sins upon Christ, and Christ gave us His righteousness. Okay? And so that's what is signified by the offerers putting their hand upon the head of the animal. I am putting my sin on this animal, and because God said it, I'm receiving back from this sacrifice the atoning value of this sacrifice, which of course didn't have any atoning value other than it pictured forward to the Lord Jesus Christ and the atoning value in Him. But the priests laid their hands on the burnt offering. And again, by the way, the priests are the sinners that are being atoned for. Okay, so this is when the priests are being consecrated. After this, it's normal people that bring a burnt offering and a sin offering. So the priests are the sinners being atoned for here in this instance. And Moses is acting on the priest's behalf. He's the one offering these animals in sacrifice. He's sacrificing them. Okay? But what is the fact that the priests laid their hands on the burnt offering? What does that represent? Because remember, the sin offering is the Lord Jesus Christ's atonement from man's perspective. He took our sin. We received back from Him his atoning value. So this is from, the burnt offering is from God's perspective. What is it that this would picture from God's perspective? Well, the fact is that we are never accepted in ourselves before God. You and I are not accepted before God in and of ourselves. Christ became the substitute for us, not just in that He took our sin debt, but His righteousness is our substitute righteousness before God the Father. And so it's the righteousness of Christ that must be substituted onto us to make us acceptable to God, you see. Okay? Our standing before God is only and always accepted because of Jesus. And so the priest, the Godward aspect is also, I need something from the burnt offering. I need His righteousness to be accepted by God the Father. Our very best service is always impure. The very best that we can do is still tainted with the sin nature. And our standing before God is only accepted, our service even is only accepted because we serve in Christ. We serve in Christ. We do things in Christ. In Christ is our acceptance to God the Father, you see. It's because we are in Christ that we are invited to present our bodies a living sacrifice. If we were not in Christ, do you think God would ask that of us? No, he doesn't want a bunch of sinful flesh. Certainly not. He would not ask that of us. But since we are in Christ, he says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Romans 12:1. So it's because we need the righteousness of Christ every single day, you see. Our labor is not in vain because it is in Christ or in the Lord. It would be in vain. It is in vain when we do things in our own flesh, you see. Our service is only accepted in Christ. And then going back now, number three, to the ram's blood. I already mentioned that we're going to look at this. The ram's blood was sprinkled round about upon the altar. Verse 19 talked about. He killed it, and Moses sprinkled the blood upon the altar round about. What is that picture? Well, first of all, the blood of Christ is not only the basis of forgiveness of sin and eternal life, it is the basis of our acceptance. We're accepted in Christ because his blood was applied to us. Okay? So the blood is extremely important. We would not be saved outside the blood of Jesus Christ. We would not be accepted by God outside the blood of Jesus Christ. But the sprinkling of the blood around about pointed to the fact of every direction. The blood of Jesus Christ is available to every man of every nation in every direction, you see. The blood of Christ is available to save all men of every nation, north, south, east, and west, and every point in between. Every point in between. It also, therefore, signifies that the preaching of the cross must there also go to all those points, doesn't it? Without the preaching of the cross, nobody gets saved. The preaching of the cross is how people get saved. And so the blood is available. The preaching must go. The preaching must go to that point. The ram's blood sprinkled round about upon the altar. The ram's inwards and legs were washed and placed with the head on the altar. Verse 17. That's Exodus 29:17. Exodus 29 is the accompanying passage, by the way. I'll roll over there to Exodus 29:17. And thou shalt cut the ram in pieces, and wash the inwards of him and his legs, and put them unto his pieces and unto his head. And thou shalt burn the whole ram upon the altar. It is a burnt offering unto the Lord. It is a sweet savor, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Okay? The ram's inwards and legs, every part of him, was washed and placed back on the altar to be burned. This pictures the fact that Christ was completely holy, completely perfect through and through. There was nothing sinful about him. He was perfect in every way. He was perfect in his actions. That pictures the legs of the animal, all four legs, and that would be the two front legs, right? He is perfect in his actions, the legs. He is perfect in his thoughts. He is perfect in the very secrets of his deepest motives. That's why the head was placed on the altar. His thoughts, his motives were perfect. The head was offered. He was perfect in his affections. He was perfect in every way through and through. That's why the heart and all the other inside organs were placed on the altar. Christ did no sin whatsoever. There was no sin to be found at all in him. He was pure, pure, pure in thought and deed. Had Christ not been sinlessly perfect, he could not have been our substitute. That's what this ram pictures. The ram was accepted because it was perfect and it was clean. Christ was perfect and he was clean, clean of sin. But if he had any sin whatsoever, Who would he have died for? Just for himself, right? He would have just died for himself if he had any sin upon him. To break even one of God's laws brings death, James tells us. James 2:10. Henry Soltau says this about the ram's inwards and legs being washed and placed with the head upon the altar. He says, quote, "Every portion of the ram came under the eye of Moses. The head, the seat of mind and intellect. The inwards, the seat of the will and affections. The legs, the tokens of the outward walk and conduct. All were scrutinized and presented in perfect cleanness to God upon the altar. This is the type of the unblemished ways and spotless intrinsic purity of Christ," end quote. He was perfectly pure through and through. Every part of him was clean. Hands, mind, actions, intellect, it was all pure. Fifthly, the ram was then wholly burnt on the altar as a sweet savor unto the Lord. As you read through the Old Testament, when it comes to the burnt offering, God will often say, wholly burnt. It was wholly burnt, totally burnt, not holes in it, but completely, wholly burnt on the altar. He's emphasizing many times in the Old Testament, this was different than the other sacrifices. The whole thing was burnt and consumed upon the altar. And of course, that signifies Christ's complete devotion to the Father. And it was a sweet savor unto the Lord. It was wholly burnt on the altar as a sweet savor unto the Lord. As verse 21 says, it was a burnt sacrifice for a sweet savor and an offering made by fire unto the Lord, as the Lord commanded Moses. Turn to Psalm chapter 40, please. Psalm chapter 40. Wholly burnt on the altar as a sweet savor to the Lord. Psalm chapter 40. Psalm chapter 40. Let's look at verse 6 through 8. This is David writing, but this would be a messianic passage here. "Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart." Verses 7 and 8 specifically are about Jesus Christ. Lo, I come in the volume of the book. What book is he referring to? Well, he's referring to Psalm. He's referring to Isaiah. All the prophetic books that talked about Jesus Christ coming. He's referring to the Bible. All of the books combined. "In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God." Christ delighted in the will of the Father. It was his bread, if you will. It was what sustained him. But this is wholly devoted to God. Wholly devoted. The opening of the ear here refers to the boring of the ear of a servant back in the Old Testament. So the opening of the ear, he's not referring to, I'm listening. He's referring to, you bored my ear through with an awl. You made a hole in my ear. That's what the opening of the ear is referring to. So Jesus Christ was the servant who loved his master, God the Father, so very dearly that he would be willing to have God the Father bore his ear through, and Christ would never leave his Father. That's the picture of how dearly Christ loved the Father. He wants to stay with him and serve him all his days rather than accept freedom from God the Father. That's the sweet devotion that Christ had to God. Go to John chapter 4. So these are some companion passages to this idea. How much Christ delighted in the will of the Father. John 4, 34. John 4, 34. Jesus saith unto them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Christ receives spiritual and probably some physical strength, some physical encouragement when he did the will of the Father. Turn to chapter 5, verse 30. John 5:30 says, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. Turn to chapter 6 and verse 38. John 6:38. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. From the very beginning, Christ's plan was to do the Father's will. He didn't have his own agenda. John 8:29. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Boy, what a tremendous testimony. I do always the things that please God. Would that we would. Amen. Would that we would. So that messianic psalm pictures this idea that Christ was wholly, completely, totally devoted to God the Father. That's what the burnt offering pictures. The burnt offering is also depicted by Abraham's offering of Isaac. Go back to Genesis 22. Remember the story? Genesis 22, verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And then as we see, verse 9, And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order. And Isaac struggled and fought and would not let his daddy tie him up. No, it doesn't say that. Laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. His son isn't wiggling around trying to wiggle off the altar. His son is letting dad do whatever dad has to do. You see, this is the picture of Jesus Christ. As Isaac was willing to be offered and made no protest or resistance, so Christ was willing to leave his heavenly glory and come into this sin-cursed world and suffer and die for man's sins, because it was the Father's will. It was the Father's will. His death was an act of devotion to the Father as much as an act of love for sinners. He offered himself without spot to God. He loved God the Father that much. But the ram wholly burnt on the altar doesn't just picture Jesus' devotion to the Father. Lastly, it also pictures the Father's complete and total acceptance of Christ, his satisfaction with the Son. The ram was a sweet savor, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And it always was, as in the Old Testament. Every time a burnt offering ram was offered, it was a sweet savor, a sweet savor. Never was it a sour savor to the Lord. Every time a perfect ram was offered in the way he commanded it to be offered, it was always a sweet savor, an offering made by fire unto the Lord, because Jesus Christ was going to be that ram. Jesus Christ was going to be that sweet savor, that perfect offering, that completely acceptable Son of God. God was well pleased with. At Christ's baptism, and then again at his transfiguration, God the Father said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And as the ram was placed on the fire of the altar, so Christ endured every trial, every tribulation, every mocking, every whipping, every beating that the devil could throw at him. He was rejected by his own people. He was shamed. He suffered tremendously on the cross. But never once did his devotion to God waver. He never once wavered with his devotion. It was perfect devotion. The kind of devotion that God wanted from Adam. And Adam failed. Adam chose, well, I'm not going to be devoted to you, Lord. Instead, I'll take this fruit. I'll sacrifice my devotion for a fruit. What a shame that was. What are we willing to sacrifice devotion to God for? Something as simple and passing and fruitless, if you will, as a rotten fruit. Christ went to the cross because he was devoted wholly to God the Father. What a sweet savor to God that was. You and I can be not as Christ, not the same savor, but we can be a sweet savor to God if we are devoted to him, if we don't waver in our faith. God loves a faithful person. Tremendously, he loves a faithful person. But lastly, in all of this, in all this picture, we can see in the burnt offering, we can see the Trinity, a glimpse of the Trinity. Go to John 1. John 1. Because of the offering and the fact that it was going to point to his Son one day, we can see that Jesus was with the Father from all eternity past, if you will. And I know there's no eternity past and there's no eternity future, it's all eternity. But for us to understand it, from eternity past, Christ was with the Father. He was sitting at the Father's right hand as the Father gave instruction. And maybe it was Christ himself that gave the instruction. I don't know which way it was. But one of the Trinity gave the instructions to Moses that this is how the burnt offering is going to be. This is how my Son is going to be to me when he offers himself on the cross. The Son was with the Father from all eternity. John 1, 1. In the beginning was the Word. There's Christ, the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then skip down to verse 18. The Son, the Word, was in the bosom of the Father. Not only does that mean he was with the Father, but he was at the heart of the Father's affections, is what that means. He was at the very center of the Father's affections. John 1:18. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And by the way, notice the verb form, which is in the bosom of the Father. Where is Christ when that was spoken? John spoke it. John the Baptist spoke it when he was 30 some years old. That means Jesus Christ is walking the earth, isn't he? But Jesus Christ, as he walked the earth, is in the bosom of the Father. You see, he's at the heart of the Father's affections. He's not just wasn't just in heaven. He was in the bosom of the Father at all times, even while he walked the earth. And then John 17:5, one last verse on the burnt offering and the pictures here. John 17:5. Jesus spoke of the glory that he had with the Father before even the world was made. John chapter 17, verse 5, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. The Trinity. Christ was always with the Father. He was always in the affections of the Father. Christ was devoted to the Father, and Jesus Christ was a sweet savor unto the Father. And of course, Christ is the one we are to emulate, right? We are to be a sweet savor to God as well. In our service, in our walk, in our thoughts and in our actions, God wants us to be a sweet savor to Him. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank You for Your word. And Father, help us to be a mirror of Christ in this way, that we will be a good smelling sweet savor unto You. Father, help us to walk worthy of that calling with which we are called. And Father, I pray that You bless now this message in Jesus' name. Bless the prayer time now. I pray in Jesus' name we ask. Amen.